Gopal Champu, Chapter 22, Begging from the Brahmana's Wives. Since the morning was so enlivening, Madhukanta became enthusiastic and, realizing another pastime in the assembly, began to inform the assembly. He began with an introductory verse for a topic recounted in the 10th canto. May Krishna, while going to Kamyavan, kept Braj marked with minerals on the southern side protect us. In the summer season he went to the Yamuna, which slaked the thirst of 100 billion cows, while praising the trees on the way. First he let the cows drink and then he drank. Then he desired to show his mercy to the wives of the Brahmanas engaged in sacrifice on the pretext of hunger. Sometime later, Lord Krishna, the son of Yashoda, surrounded by his coward friends and accompanied by Balaram, went a good distance away from Vrindavan, herding the cows. When the sun's heat became intense, Krishna saw that the trees were acting as umbrellas by shading him, and thus he spoke to his friends. With joy, he addressed each of his best friends in a sweet voice deep as rumbling clouds. O Stoka Krishna and Angshu, O Shridam, Subal and Arjuna, O Vrishabha, Ojasvi, Devaprastha and Varutapa. Showering his friends with nectar, he spoke with laughter. The trees standing before me make me happy. You should glorify them one by one. Laughing, they said, you cause us astonishment, because you are the ornament among all the best of poets. Therefore you should praise the trees. Krishna then spoke with a smile. Please listen. The trees are glorified not only for their limbs, but also for their qualities. They protect the living beings with their bodies by extinguishing heat. Know that their births have been successful because they are the sources of life for unlimited entities. By their nature, the trees have praiseworthy bodies for helping all beings by means of their flowers, fruit, shade, leaves, and wood, for accruing a good future. Some humans act as benefactors like trees. The trees are real devotees, and those who seek future benefits are secondary devotees. The real meaning of this statement is that those trees should be glorified because they dwell in Vrindavan as spiritual entities. His friend said with a smile, you, the emperor among all the poets, have created what is most excellent without difficulty. Because it will be useful, it surpasses all other praises, for it is seen that when you are eloquent and skillful in discussions, Brahaspati cannot be called the master of speech. Krishna spoke with a smile, let that be. Sometimes you can realize this. Walking through the forests of many trees, spreading happiness, having great thirst and joy, he came to the bank of the Yamuna. Praising the trees and desiring to show his mercy to the wives of the Brahmanas, he avoided the path leading to the place where his friends could find food and came instead to the river. The cows drank the clear, cool, auspicious, tasty water. Then Krishna and the coward boys drank. Understanding that Krishna was hungry, his friends also expressed a strong desire to eat. Krishna had left far behind the tall trees bearing fruit. The lunch that Yashoda usually sent at noon did not arrive. They all understood Krishna's desire and began thinking of the lack of food. With enthusiasm arising from their affection, desiring a way that Krishna could eat, they prayed for food while motioning with their hands. O Rama! Rama! O Mighty Armed One! O Krishna, Destroyer of the Miscreants! Not far from here is a very great forest filled with rows of palm trees. Krishna spoke with a smile. At that place, in that Ashoka tree forest, without a visible pathway, there are no fruits to eat. Where will you obtain food? If you have hunger pain, go carefully straight on this path, and you will see many sacrificial arenas which are actually close by, but which appear far away because of the winding course of the Yamuna. Go north of Mathura, which lies to the south. Going there, beg food for me and Balaram from the Brahmanas skillful at rituals. But keep in mind the teaching that the beggars should always be tolerant. Some of their friends went together. Krishna remained in a huge cottage near the river in order to see them depart and return. They went to that place filled with the aroma of ghee, streams of smoke, chanting of Yajurveda, white cottages, and the coming and going of brahmanas who were priests at the sacrificial pit with auspicious fire. They offered respects and remained standing with folded hands, though the brahmanas did not acknowledge them. Since the friends were equal to Krishna himself, this disrespect pains my heart. Recognizing them only as cowards by their nature, form, and dress, the brahmanas ascended the mountain of pride and stared at the boys with glances from the seven upper planets. The friends, experiencing that Krishna was thin from hunger, spontaneously made the request with pain in their minds. For in that sacrifice, the brahmanas chanted Hum, Pat, Shoshad, and Vashad, but never the chief name of Krishna. How could boys have taste for that sacrifice? But for Krishna's sake, should they not respect it? Therefore, they made the request. They requested as follows. O Brahmanas, please pay attention for a short time. You of great knowledge of the scripture can understand that Krishna and Balaram have great power. They have come near respectable cells while herding the cows. Going here and there, showing prowess and great bliss, we have traveled far away from Nanda's house. The people in the house cannot see us. The two have become hungry because of their mock battles and have not received food from their house, which is equivalent to Vishnu's house. Being hungry, without reservation, they think of you as their protectors, just like their parents, according to the custom of the family. They are asking for food from your house, which is like their father's house. Please go and bring some food. The priest ignored the boys' words, since they did not have a taste for bhakti. The unfortunate priests, who were proud of their knowledge of scripture, remained silent. The boys began to consider in their minds. Thinking we are fools, they speak in private. In order to prevent the boys from coming again, we will remain without speaking to them, since one should not give food at an improper time. The boys then said aloud, the wise do not eat the food of an Agni Shoma sacrifice requiring initiation and involving animal sacrifice, and one should not eat the remnants of a Shotramani sacrifice at all. One can take food from all except these two sacrifices, O Brahmanas. Seeing that you are performing a sacrifice, we think that this is an opportunity to give food. In this way, the boys requested food at the sacrifice like beggars and with logic established the meaning of the scriptures. Hearing this, the worshipable brahmanas began to consider, they are making a point of teaching us brahmanas about our duties out of greed. In doing so, they have skillfully become most talkative. Let that be. They seem to be most respectable. They are most eager to receive food without waiting for a charitable offering. It seems that this is the place where Kali has entered. Some people say that Krishna and Balaram are the supreme lords, but if so, how could they be suffering from hunger? Thinking in this way, they could not understand correctly about Krishna, who is hard to understand. Though there were many, they were low class. Though they were twice born, they were fools. The rascal performers of sacrifice began discussing about the begging boys among themselves. Bewildered about what to do, the boys glanced at each other's faces and, becoming ashamed, returned to Krishna. Glancing at the bewildered boys, understanding that their intelligence had been defeated, he smiled. Come, let us consider, you should obtain food from the brahmanas as one does from trees. The boys, smiling, said, you know what is to be done. Our minds have been scattered by the winds of your will. Knowing the minds of the brahmanas' wives who had made efforts to see Krishna, he laughed while remembering them, promising them that they would definitely achieve their desire. He said, it is good you think like this. I have established you here to determine the relative excellence of trees and brahmanas. Those without pride do not execute dharma as the proud people do. Though you are not aware of this now, go to the wives of the brahmanas. Like you, the wives are endowed with a wealth of effort to achieve only prema for me. They drank water only after 2 days in order to see me, and after 3 days they ate only a few morsels of food. All the boys spoke in astonishment. Oh, is that true? Krishna said, certainly. In astonishment they said, we think that this is most wondrous. After Krishna had spoken, the affectionate boys were eager to go to the wives immediately. Krishna, with longing in his voice, said, please ask them for food for me and my elder brother. Eagerly, one surpassing the others, the boys went to the wives' houses and saw the wives. The wives saw them. They understood that the boys were Krishna's representatives. The wives before seeing Krishna may be described as follows. Their hearts had melted in affection by his attractive ragas using the skillful sweet notes of his flute, by the auspicious combination of syllables, by the colorful meanings praised by poets, by seeing his qualities, form, and pastimes, and by their tears. The wives became constantly attracted to Krishna's friends. Seeing the boys with flutes in front, with sticks tied by cloth used for herding the cows, with peacock feather crowns and beautiful earrings, they surmised that Krishna was coming. When the boys announced that Krishna was coming, the wives among them offered respects. The wives of the brahmanas, first thinking that this was an extraordinary event, forgot what to do, though the boys repeated the news several times. Since their desire to see Krishna had previously been thwarted, their hearts had been broken. Then Krishna sent his friends who were like his very life. The boys then announced that Krishna would come. They asked only for some food. How could the wives maintain their self-control? The boys did not mention which food was suitable or unsuitable to bring. Thus the wives quickly brought all the vessels for Krishna. Putting the unlimited boys in front, the wives, placing the food vessels on their heads, went to Krishna. With anxiety at every step, they uttered, "How much further?" as they proceeded. One after another, Krishna's bodily fragrance, his effusive effulgence, his form which bestows happiness, his rumbling strong words, his beauty like a cloud with lightning, his moonlight face spreading its light everywhere, and the sweetness of the motions of his hand indicating, "Please come," made their appearance to attract the wives of the brahmanas. Krishna was wandering blissfully with his friends in an Ashoka forest on the bank of the Yamuna. The wives saw him in this condition and thought, "The object of our meditation has become visible to our eyes today." In the Ashoka forest, the wives of the brahmanas approached the feet of Krishna, the object of meditation for devatas. That Ashoka forest was certainly a forest with no lamentation, Shoka. Seeing him, the wives' bodies erupted in goosebumps. People sing in this way. The wives saw respectable Krishna who was wearing yellow cloth, who possessed the highest excellence, who was the source of effulgence like lightning in a cloud. He wore peacock feathers in his crown and a garland on his chest along with mineral dyes. He surpassed a beautiful evening displaying two rainbows. His hair was decorated with new buds attractive to all people. It was like long-lasting darkness with pink sun rays at dawn. His forehead was bordered with locks of hair. He had lotuses in his ears and had excellent cheeks. His smiling was like the full moon with two stars. Decorated like a dancer, he increased his beauty. It seemed that a cloud had appeared to sprinkle showers of nectar. His left arm was resting on a friend's shoulder. In his right hand, he skillfully twirled an unblemished lotus. The wives, aspiring to see him after having heard about him, no longer felt pain. Only a particle of pain remained because of separation, but because their absorption in him was now almost like meeting him, that particle also disappeared. While the wives remained standing with the food containers on their heads, Krishna, knowing all sentiments, with beautiful face showing a smiling glance, considered the situation and understood that they had brought the food which they had prepared with great effort. Respecting their desire, wearing yellow cloth, he spoke a few words. "Welcome, most fortunate ladies. Please sit down and make yourselves comfortable. What can I do for you?" "That you have come here to see me is most appropriate. The general meaning is as follows. Oh, you are carrying heavy loads. That has made me very embarrassed. Why have you come?" He initially welcomed the guests, saying, "Welcome, please come." He understood that they were embarrassed to answer. He then said, "Please sit down." One should consider the meaning of his statements. Though welcoming a guest is proper behavior, it delays the relaxation of the guest slightly. Giving up the rest of the formalities, he simply said, "Please sit down." Krishna is famous as one who is controlled by affection because he personally took the loads from the heads of the brahmanas' wives in order to relieve them of shyness. He sat down and had them sit nearby. He then said, "What can I do for you?" He reflected on this request. The wives of the brahmanas are thinking he desires that we assist his love. Without his assistance, his love will remain restricted. Though they hesitate, they should personally entreat me. Considering that the Brahmin women had come just with a desire to see him, he spoke, "That you have come here to see me is most appropriate. This is the meaning. It is proper that your desire is only to see me because this is your wonderful nature." Thinking of their natural love, he again spoke, "Your love for me has arisen because of good fortune and nothing else. Those who are fortunate by being filled with love are able to see me." He spoke while expressing good fortune using Kaimutyam. "I see everywhere in this world that unlimited love arises from a small portion of my love. Living beings love me unconditionally. Any other type of love is maturely motivated." Concluding that they had all come to him because of love for him, he refused them and said, "O wives of Brahmanas, my form does not appear at all times and all places, but it appears eternally for you. That is the way in which you can be close to me. Quickly go to your houses with sons and husbands. I will be happy if you do that, for I desire propriety at all times." Hearing this from Krishna, though what he said was very gentle, they considered his words intolerable, suddenly devoid of consistency. They answered, "O Lord, you should not speak in this way, for all people say that you alone are comparable to yourself in terms of mercy. Therefore, please be merciful to us. What should we do? Please accept us. Offer us a position like those who serve your lotus feet. O famous one, O Lord, whose name is auspicious, O master of Lakshmi, giving up all friends, we surrender to the lotus feet of Yashoda. We will constantly serve those feet. We will continually serve you. Please accept these skillfully cooked items endowed with four tastes: bitter, sour, salty, and sweet." With open lotus eyes, Krishna then spoke in humility while looking at them, considering their hesitation and adversity. "O Brahmana women, you should act in a way permitted by the devatas and which does not create hatred in friends or my followers. You are wives of Brahmanas. No one permits that you should be accepted for service to others. One should examine the conventions carefully." Understanding that it was not proper to remain for a long time near Krishna, the object of longing for their eyes, and understanding that he was reserved towards them, the women, without much delay, placed the food on leaves and in other vessels, and in taking back their metal pots, respectfully left. Oh, Krishna quickly gave blessings to these women who were gazing at him, that blessing revealing to their eyes the black form wearing golden cloth, which they had just seen, produced great astonishment. After a long time, they returned to their houses. Though seeing joyfully that the pots and houses were now made of jewels, they could not understand how it had happened. Later, the Brahmanas, seeing that their houses were full of jewels, remembered that Krishna, as an infant, had filled the fruit vendor's basket with jewels. They became obedient to the intelligence of their wives and accepted Krishna's position. They said, "Our wives who took food for the creator of the universe belong to him. Persons like us are most despicable. Let persons who do not direct their senses to Krishna perish. Let those who direct their senses to him live. He who does not worship Krishna for his whole life is already dead, is a bad Brahman, and is without good fortune. The Brahmanas of Mathura long to see Krishna, but out of fear of arrogant Kamsa, they cannot go to see him. It has been heard that previously someone prevented his wife from going to Krishna, thinking she was rejecting him. She then gave up her body. This was to be expected from the Brahmanas, because just as dust sometimes accumulates or dissipates, it is seen that irregular conduct increases or decreases in foolish persons who are attached to karma rituals. The person who served Krishna in a previous life respects him continually in this life. The person who studied Bhagavatam in a previous life is qualified to serve Krishna in this life." Serving with his own hand, Krishna in friendship fed unlimited coward boys equal in number to their cows. He also tasted that food with a smile and, praising it, spread bliss everywhere. While eating the food endowed with sweet, sour, bitter, and salty tastes, Madhu Mangal addressed Krishna, This well-cooked food obtained by begging is equal to nectar. Things obtained by exchange are called bartered goods. Bartered food is not like this. Food which comes without begging is called nectar. But nectar foods are not as beautiful as this, for even if a particle falls on the ground and gets covered with dust, I desire to eat it. You must lock these wives of Brahmins in a cottage near our hut. We will offer to you and Balaram all the hot and slightly hot foods such as leaves, vegetables, and sweets which they cook. I will become the best person by eating the best of that food. There's no fault in that. But fearing you will get angry, we do not speak. Krishna said, O glutton, because you are insane with eating, you have given up all shyness. Laughing, everyone spoke, Dear friend, if Madhu Mangal desires to eat food cooked by others, he should fulfill that desire by eating all the tasty food by worshipping these women who, while residing in a hut besides their houses, from which he can gain sufficient food. Krishna said, You have spoken well. We will inform Purnamasi. Madhu Mangal spoke in anger, O prince, because they are filled with desire, these boys have become gluttonous. Thus they think of eating at every opportunity and seem to be voracious. They can be seen eating food from anywhere since they are eager to become fat from begging. All the boys said, O big mouth, as a brahmana you sit in the sacrificial arena uttering mantras and are alert to eating the sacrificial food like a rakshasa, but we appreciate seeing the qualities of a brahmana. As the gathering of friends laughed, they ate. Krishna, everyone's benefactor, also became satisfied with eating the satisfying food. He then played on his flute to gather the cows. While discussing various subjects, while glancing back at the cows, he arrived at Braj, extinguished the fire separation for him, and satisfied the people of Braj with the sweetness of his form. The boys spoke nothing of the incident. They refrained from saying that they had gone to the sacrifice and begged. The speaker concluded, O Lord of Gokula, you have given birth to Krishna who attracts everyone by his qualities and bestows those qualities on them.